The home of the business and building movement, the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Like I said, we're all chasing something. More money. More love. What we're really looking for is more life. But sometimes you go looking for more. And you wind up with less.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
It's a beautiful world. We ought to be satisfied. But the truth is, we all want more. He knows that if you give a man his dream, he might just do anything for you. But you can't have your dream without laying something on the line.
Cedric Muhammad on the Black Coffee Channel. You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad on the Black Coffee Channel.
Ooh.
Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
July 22nd, 2009. I want to welcome you to the hottest show in the diaspora. Lot to go over. Geopolitical, economic, musical, and of course, motivation. If you brought political ideology and partisan affiliations, please park them at the door. Wipe your feet. By the way, how many people out there have peace or welcome on the doormat? Why do we wipe our dirt on such a beautiful greeting? Have you ever thought about that before? Oh, man, I got Holiday on my mind. Well, Holiday. We're going to call him Holiday today. I caught Roy Holiday pitching this weekend. Philadelphia Phillies, if you do not secure the services of this gun for hire, I will never forgive you. Roy Holiday, we'll talk about him. Captain's Log, July 22nd, 2009. First things first, as always, some time checks. Nairobi, Kenya, it's 7:06. I want to welcome all my listeners from Kenya. Lagos, Nigeria, 5:06 p.m., the home of Olajuwon. Welcome aboard. Kingston, Jamaica, home of my mother, 11:06 a.m. We'll talk about Usain Bolt in a minute, or as Shaquille O'Neal calls him, Usain Bolton. That's what Shaquille called him, Usain Bolton. In Khartoum, Sudan, 7:06 p.m., London, England, 5:06 p.m. Welcome. Washington, D.C., 12:06. Welcome, all. Los Angeles, they may still be sleeping, but it's 9:06 a.m. Wake up. I'm going to talk about the beautiful presidential leadership that we got yesterday on this Death to Skinny Jeans movement. Presidential leadership now on this issue. Skip Gates. Henry Skip Gates, doctor, brother doctor. Ooh. Got the mugshot. Talk about him today. Minimum wage tomorrow, or should I say Friday, the federal minimum wage will be increased to a little over $7. I mean, half an applause for that. I'll explain why it's ridiculous for anyone to be, I say unreasonable, for anyone to oppose a hike in the minimum wage. Paul Kagame and Rwanda, do you represent the new model of African leadership, or are you just the flavor of the month? Facebook, we all know it and love it. But what's the business model behind Facebook? We'll crack that open a little later. I'm going to get to two pieces, or rather three, that I missed last week. Newt Gingrich and the gangster of the week that I need you to identify. I caught him on Al Jazeera TV. Victor Ortiz, my second favorite boxer. And this is after he got knocked out. I'll explain. I got too much on this captain's log. But the stars of the show today, Lori Elliott and King J, Jorge Cornell. I'll give you those websites momentarily. But the big news, the big, 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 big news. Yes, I did not watch Tiny and Toya. I fell asleep. But damn it, I caught the T.O. show. We're going to talk about the T.O. show. You saw that get revved up. I like it. We'll analyze that momentarily. Okay. Sending comments, you can do so at CedricMuhammad.com on the show page. Type that in. See if that works for you. Nothing more beautiful than to have Jigga, Jay-Z, and President Obama on your side on an issue. That's where we find ourselves today. The Death to Skinny movement, Skinny Jeans movement continues, but with a little twist. I want to see, does this movement have room in it for the feminine side of God? Or is my movement sexist? Skinny Jeans movement. Let's listen to our leader.
Last question, I promise you, All-Star Game. You threw out the pitch.
I did.
People teased you a little bit. I thought you did very well with that. But then the fashion police went after your jeans.
Yeah, I heard they were cracking on my jeans.
Dad jeans, called the nerd jeans. You are married to one of the most fashionable women in the world. Yes. You want to defend the pants.
No. Here's my attitude. Michelle, she looks fabulous. I'm a little frumpy. You know, basically, up until a few years ago, I only had 4 suits. She used to tease me because they'd get really shiny. I hate to shop. Those jeans are comfortable. And for those of you who, you know, want your president to, you know, look great in his tight jeans, I'm sorry, I'm not the guy.
So no low riders for you.
Sorry. It just doesn't fit me. I'm not 20.
Yeah, the image of him in really tight jeans is wrong.
Can I say,
wrong for the presidency.
As a man of about the same age, it's all about comfort when you get to this point in life.
Yeah.
You know what? Good for him. Good for him.
And he looks comfortable,
you
for
know?
Sure. Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
He's confident in those pants. That's what matters.
Presidential leadership. POTUS. POTUS and DTSJ unite. Oh, pardon me. Hold on. Let me pump this instrumental up. Yes. Yes. All of the hatred that I sent in the direction of Maxwell, or Massawell, as the Ethiopian Cornjoes call him. This Maxwell album is the truth. Woo! Maxwell even found time to throw this instrumental at the end of the album. Maxwell. A little later, we'll review his new album, Black Summer's Night. Very impressed. Jigga, what do you say to what President Obama just laid down?
You boys' jeans too tight. You got a bop like this. Can't wear skinny jeans cause my knots don't fit. You boys' jeans too tight. You got a bop like this. Can't wear skinny jeans cause my knots don't fit.
Now, let me head off something before it comes. Let me take a bullet out of the chamber before it's used against me. Is the Death to Skinny Jeans movement sexist? We see our illustrious president always sagging. But are skinny jeans okay if you're a male, if you see them on a woman? Now let's be real. If you have a screen in front of you, you see what I just put up. That's the male version of skinny jeans. It's disgusting. You feel me? I mean, that's horrendous. Tight around the... Oh, God. Goodness gracious. Ho.
You boys' jeans too tight. You got a bop like this. Can't wear skinny jeans cause my knots don't fit. You boys' jeans too tight. You got a bop like this. Can't wear skinny jeans cause my knots don't fit.
However, when it is a female, do the rules of the game change? Take, for instance... Yep, that's Melissa Ford in tight jeans. Now, where is your revolutionary zeal? Now, can't have it both ways. We don't want Obama in tight jeans. But the sight of Melissa Ford in apple bottoms is legitimate. Now, you don't want your daughter or your sister, certainly not your mother, in tight jeans. That's Melissa Ford. In skinny jeans. Are skinny jeans bad for your health? This was the subject this morning on the Today Show. From the female perspective, yes, I'm going to leave Melissa Ford's picture up there in apple bottom jeans. This was kind of eye-opening. This is what women go through. Are skinny jeans a health hazard? Let's find out.
else could your clothes be bad for you? Some women will do almost anything to look slimmer, but who would have thought that wearing jeans might be harmful to your health? From 70s flare to bootcut or boyfriend, jeans are an American original. And if you can find just the right pair, they can flatter any figure.
Ta-da! Hippie, you're a babe!
Even the president has his own favorite fit, which he got some slack for at the All-Star Game.
For those of you who want your president to look great in his tight jeans, I'm sorry, I'm not the guy.
So no lowriders.
Sorry. That's okay. Yeah, it just doesn't fit me. I'm not 20.
But for other folks at any age, skinny jeans have been one of the hottest cuts in denim, having hugged ankles for decades.
Skinny jeans started back in the 50s. Marilyn Monroe wore them. Elvis wore them. Then they had a moment in the 80s with heavy metal bands. You saw them on Metallica. It was always a real rock and roll look.
And just about every star has their favorite pair.
Skinny jeans have a really great, fresh, young look. I mean, they're kind of the antithesis of mom jeans.
Today's skinny jeans aren't your mom's or your grandmother's either. They've evolved, and some are feeling the pinch.
The thing that has changed about skinny jeans is that they've gotten skinnier. You see women now wearing things that are 9 inches around the ankle. I mean, that's a bracelet.
Some doctors say clothing worn that tight does more than draw looks. It could be inviting nerve damage.
What happens is the person starts to feel a nagging kind of burning or tingling sensation in their thigh that they can't really figure out. It's sometimes quite painful.
And in extreme cases, the squeeze might cause GI issues, bladder and yeast infections, and even serious blood clots in the legs.
Once you start having those symptoms, it's probably not a good idea for you to keep wearing those clothes.
Something to keep in mind the next time you wrestle on a pair. So does beauty have no pain? Dr. Orly Avitzar is a medical contributor to Consumer Reports. Dr. Roshini Raj is the medical editor of Health Magazine. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Well, if I can start with you, you wrote about this in Consumer Reports in a blog. Why? What provoked that?
As a neurologist, I often see problems with pinched nerves, and this is one that comes from wearing tight garments that constrict a nerve in the thigh.
Oh, I was just saying, where is the nerve? It's actually in the thigh? Or
it's in the upper pelvis that extends through the thigh.
How frequent is that?
The condition occurs about 3 to 4 in 10,000 people, but as we start to wear garments that are tighter and more constrictive, we may be seeing more.
So you're seeing that in 3-4 out of 10,000 people, you
Correct.
Said? But there are other conditions, as we pointed out in the piece, that probably are more prevalent, like infections.
Sure. I mean, yeast infections definitely are more prevalent in women who wear very tight jeans. It just creates a very warm, moist environment, which we know bacteria love and yeast loves. It also can cause GI issues, like abdominal pain. You know, our intestines are meant to expand and contract, certainly after we eat. And when you're wearing something so tight and constricted in that area, they're not able to do that. It can be very painful, especially for people who suffer from IBS. Or irritable bowel syndrome.
And there are also, for men who are starting to wear these jeans, they're popular with men, there can be other issues as well.
Right, and it's actually a bit more common in men, and it's also common in people that are heavy and carry their weight up front.
But can it cause infertility problems with men, these jeans?
That's a bit debatable, but there have been studies to show that it can, that the tight garments can contribute to that.
So do you think, Dr. Raj, that there are certain people who should never wear these jeans, that should just really stay away from them?
Well, we surely recommend people who have irritable bowel syndrome or acid reflux. That's another condition that can be made worse by wearing very tight garments around your waist. If you're prone to getting bladder or yeast infections, stay away. And in general, people, if you feel very uncomfortable, if you're wearing any kind of garment, but especially a tight jean, that's a sign that your body's telling you this is not right and you should probably either not wear it at all or definitely do it in moderation.
Or any other precautions with regard to jeans? Anything else should you do?
I think just be sure that they're comfortable and that you're not sacrificing your health for the sake of fashion.
And maybe wearing breathable underwear at least give that area some room to breathe. If you're going to wear the tight jeans, you should do that.
Okay, if you're in moderation,
right.
Number one. All right, thank you so much, Doc. Last question, I promise you, All-Star Game, you threw out the pitch.
I did.
People teased you a little bit. I thought you did very well with that. But then the fashion police went after your jeans.
Yeah, I heard they were cracking on my jeans.
Dad jeans, called them nerd jeans. You are married to one of the most fashionable women in the world. Do you want to defend the pants?
No. Here's my attitude. Michelle... she looks fabulous. I'm a little frumpy, you know. Up until a few years ago, I only had 4 suits. She used to tease me because they'd get really shiny. I hate to shop. Those jeans are comfortable. And for those of you who, you know, want your president to, you know, look great in his tight jeans. I'm sorry, I'm not the guy.
So no low riders.
Sorry. It just doesn't fit me. I'm not 20.
Yeah, the image of him in really tight jeans is wrong.
Can I say,
wrong for the presidency.
As a man of about the same age, it's all about comfort when you get to this point in life. Yeah. You know what? Good for him. Good for him.
And he looks comfortable,
you
for
know?
Sure. Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
He's confident in those pants. That's what matters.
Boy's jeans too tight. Got a bop like this. Can't wear skinny jeans cause my knots don't fit. You boy's jeans too tight. Got a bop like this. Can't wear skinny jeans cause my knots don't fit.
All right, let's move into Chris Brown. The apology. I saw it. I watched it. I analyzed it. Caught Access Hollywood last night breaking down the body language of Chris Brown's apology. I felt sincerity at the end. But you know, there's something to having a person in your corner who knows the science of color to help you with your wardrobe. And just how to work on your demeanor, your voice inflection, body language, things like that. There's nothing wrong with looking at yourself in the mirror every once in a while. See how you're coming across. But my man Chris Brown, I don't know. Here's the assessment of his body language. You all weigh in if you saw it live or you've been thinking it over. Can Chris Brown come back?
Yesterday, Chris Brown surprised everyone with his apology for what he calls the incident, otherwise known as his violent assault in February on then-girlfriend Rihanna. But
oh, by the way, has anyone noticed Shawn Robinson of Access Hollywood? I think that's her name. Is she losing weight or something? Shawn Robinson of Access Hollywood. Get back to me on that. I was a little concerned last night. Maybe I hadn't been looking that closely. Back to Chris Brown.
Was he sincere? Our body language expert examines the tape.
Hi, I'm Chris Brown.
So what is particularly interesting is the fact that he's doing this interview in an office setting.
What I did was unacceptable.
This isn't Chris sitting at home sharing his heart and soul and feelings with his fans and Rihanna.
According to body language expert Stacey Kizer, Brown's mea culpa is choreographed right down to his inflection.
And then I wanted to publicly express my deepest regret and accept full responsibility.
And what I can't help but notice is how obvious it is that he is reading. His eyes are fixed forward, he is focused, and he's raising his eyebrows as if to pause every time there is a pause in the words.
I have told Rihanna countless times, and I'm telling you today, that I'm truly, truly...
Okay, hold on. I told Rihanna countless times. That didn't sound right. Now, if you're a man out there and you've ever, you know, had to raise your voice, unfortunately, I told Rihanna. Chris, not a good look on that one. Voice inflection, my brother. A Chris Breezy. I've been corrected. He's not Chris Brown. He's Chris Breezy. I told Rihanna.
Sorry, and that I wasn't able to handle the situation both differently and better.
He is uncomfortable and not really sure about how he's coming across.
And I spent a lot of time trying to understand what happened and why.
Chris is in this very contained, submissive body position, but his shoulders keep going up and down, and that's because he's having a hard time containing his anxiety while he's talking.
But when Chris brings up growing up around domestic violence, a claim his stepfather denies, Stacey sees the opposite physical reaction.
I saw firsthand what uncontrolled rage could do.
What we're seeing with Chris is that he's just as flat as he was before, detached from the emotions of what happened in his childhood.
And as I sit here today, I can tell you that I will do everything in my power to make sure that it never happens again, and I promise that.
Chris's body language is a bit more forceful here as he's saying that he intends to never do this again. And that's because he actually believes that he intends to never do this again.
But perhaps the biggest telltale sign of all, Brown's outfit.
I think it's particularly interesting, the clothing choice that Chris is wearing. He's wearing a bright color, which usually represents excitement. And one who's feeling remorseful and grieving usually would be wearing something darker, like black or navy blue.
Coming up here.
Again, Shawn Robinson, is she losing weight? I'm not sure. I don't trip off of that, but, you know, if I notice, maybe that's a sign of something. I like Shawn Robinson. Now, oh yeah, she has the look. We've talked about the preference that corporate America and news companies have for black women. They want them to look a certain way. Shawn Robinson has the look. Maybe we'll put that on the best of page. Henry Louis Gates It was not a good day.
A professor at Harvard University, Henry Louis Gates Jr., is perhaps the best known expert on African American history in this country. He got home Thursday from China, where he was making a PBS documentary. He tried to get in his own home in Cambridge, Mass., but his front door was stuck, so he used his key in the back door. Later, the cops arrived, responding to a burglary call, and he wound up under arrest. The charges have been dropped, but the stakes have just been raised. Our report tonight from NBC's Mike Taibbi.
There's a still photo, the 58-year-old professor in handcuffs, mugshots following his arrest on a charge of disorderly conduct, the inevitable headlines, and the logical, almost unavoidable speculation.
Oh, a person of color, you know, one has to wonder whether he was treated as any other Harvard professor might have been.
He was freed by 1776.
World-renowned scholar Henry Louis Gates returned home from a week's travel last Thursday and found his front door jammed. He went in through the back door and then, with the help of his driver, also African-American, pulled the front door open. A witness mistook the scene for a burglary in progress, and police said when they responded, Gates refused to be cooperative and continued shouting, exhibited loud and tumultuous behavior, and said, "This is what happens to black men in America." Gates told fellow professor Charles Ogletree he did cooperate, producing two photo IDs to prove who he was, and was thus astonished to see several police officers gathered who then placed Professor Gates under arrest, handcuffed on his own front porch. With the story getting wide circulation, the Cambridge Police Department dropped the disorderly conduct charge completely in the interests of justice. A statement issued by Gates' attorney, Walter Prince, called the incident regrettable and unfortunate, and not one that should demean the character of Professor Gates or of the Cambridge Police Department.
People thought with the election of Barack Obama, racism is over. I don't think black people thought that, and this proves that it's obviously not over.
The case may be over, but the incident will be fine. Mike Taibbi, NBC News, New York.
I don't know. Let's massage. Let's do a mental massage on what Torre said, editor of Rolling Stone magazine. Let me read Torre's blog in the Daily Beast. This is available at blackelectorate.com, but also thedailybeast.com. I don't know. I mean, because black folks have a split personality when it comes to how we want to appear to Caucasians. We have acted like racism is over. Now, I know some of you all don't like Henry Skip Gates, Henry Louis Skip Gates, Dr. Skip Gates. You can express whatever your beef may be with him. I understand some of you just don't like how he maneuvers with corporate America. I didn't like the way he handled an interview he had with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan several years ago. That's my beef with him. But those of you that hate on him because he knows how to negotiate business deals, you know, I don't know if I can really come to your flag waving on that. I don't know. Torre writes, the arrest of Harvard professor Henry Louis Skip Gates, the country's most important black academic, in his own home means America can forget all the post-racial nonsense. Are you serious? Skip Gates? Not the numerous people that have been getting beaten down since Obama was elected, of all classes? Torre writes, it could have happened to any black man. This sort of thing happens all the time. But this particular instance, legendary Harvard professor Henry Louis Skip Gates Jr. arrested on his own front porch, tells you that even if a black man is a brilliant, famous, rich, classy Harvard professor who's 58 years old, walking with a cane because of hip replacement surgery and ensconced in his own Cambridge home during the day, he can still be arrested. I mean, is this news? Torre writes, that's because Malcolm X's 40-year-old quote is still true. What do you call a black man with a PhD? A nigger. Now, some people were thinking, we've got a black president. America is beyond racism. We're all post-racial now. Some think racism has become a boogie monster that only blacks fear is under the bed, but there's nothing but paranoia. Ah, but see, there is paranoia in how blacks have dealt with racism. Now, a little bit later in the show, we're going to get into Rwanda. One of our favorite shows is the Global Public Square, GPS, featuring Fareed Zakaria, he had Paul Kagame on. We're going to play the audio of that interview. Fareed Zakaria makes an interesting statement about how unique Rwanda is because the perpetrators of genocide are living side by side with the victims of genocide. He says that's unique. Fareed, it's not unique. You're living in a country that has that same scenario. However, the paranoia is that blacks choose to live a double life. This is what I refer to in a blog I recently wrote about extreme humanism. On one hand, we know that what has happened to us has never been adequately addressed, but on the other hand, we know that we can't be considered equal with white people if we continue to bring that fact up. So it's like, what they call it, a Faustian bargain? The big compromise. We mute criticism and a real analysis of racism in order to have social equality with white people. That's why we kind of toned it down when President Obama was running and when he was elected. Because you can't be equal with somebody that you're whining to, talking about my knee still hurts, rubbing your kneecaps because you've been hit with a bat, Tanya Harding style. But you can't be an equal. You can't go to the same parties. You can't get acknowledged the same if you're seen as a whiner. Torre continues. He says, well, after the arrest of Skip Gates, the director of Harvard's W.E.B. Du Bois Institute for African and African American Research, the most important black academic in the country, we can all put that kumbaya we're post-racial crap in the toilet. In the hours after the story broke, the actor-playwright Sarah Jones tweeted, do we still need our free papers? End quote. Yes, the incident sent shockwaves so deep that people felt echoes of being post-slaves and having to prove their liberty to anyone who asked. Gates told me in an email, I am outraged. Many are. I'm going to put that on ice. If you all want to work with that, let's work with it. I didn't need Henry Skip Gates to be profiled and abused for me to realize that a black president did not address historical injustice. As a matter of fact, the concern has been that it masks current injustice. But that's not President Obama's fault. That's black people's fault for choosing what issues to mute. We went moot. You know how we do. Representative John Conyers has H.R. 40, a reparations bill, and he decides to go moot or mute, saying, hey, this will hurt President Obama, so let's mute H.R. 40, the reparations study bill. You know how we do. It's not President Obama's fault. Matter of fact, let me give President Obama a standing ovation because you all are now going to expect him to put out a statement, and he's not going to. Or he'll put out a very moderate, lukewarm statement. Great column for Torre. He's getting some burn and shine on the networks. But please, this is not really, you know, a clarion call for us to get our act together. You feel me? You can just walk out in your neighborhood and see a couple jokers getting hemmed up on a police cars. Now, Harry Allen and I, have I told you all the story of guns drawn on Harry Allen and I, the media assassin on 122nd Street in Harlem? Guns drawn. Harry Allen, the media assassin of Public Enemy, sitting in a car building, guns pulled on us. Now, if you want to hear that story, I'll run it down. Let me lighten it up a little bit. Philadelphia Phillies, yes. I took the time to see if all of the buzz was justified. Roy Halladay, is this man the truth, the pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays? I don't know what kind of pitch that is. It's like it almost looks like a curveball. The ball just like falls right when it gets above the plate. It just falls over to like the left. Any of you baseball pitchers can break down. Is that a splitter he's throwing? Or a sinker? Or is that a curveball? Roy Halladay is the truth. Philadelphia Phillies, if you do not get this man. And here's the problem. The Philadelphia Phillies don't want to give up a prospect, a pitching prospect. Supposedly. That's what's keeping the deal with Toronto being done. Philadelphia Phillies would otherwise be trading from Mr. Halliday, or Holiday as we're calling today. Let's get updated on this. I think if the Philadelphia Phillies get this, we got two World Series. I'm putting up my ring finger at you all. I mean, I'll turn the camera on in a minute. I'm going to give you all the finger. My ring finger, all of you miserable Mets fans. That ring finger is kind of naked, isn't it? If we get Roy Halladay, you'll be watching us having parades in South Street and Broad Street for the next 2 years. I say give Toronto whatever they want. Whatever they want. Here's an update on the Phillies. We also got Pedro Martinez. I don't know about that, though.
Martinez faced hitters for the first time in 11 days on Tuesday, throwing 64 pitches in four innings in a simulated game. Now, Pedro will throw off a bullpen mound Thursday, if that goes well. He will have another simulated game or pitch in a minor league game on Sunday. After Tuesday's performance, Pedro graded his effort.
Pretty good, physically. Real, real good. First two innings, a little, you know, sluggish a little bit. I probably need a couple more days, settle down. It's been a lot of trouble driving and all that. But as far as physical conditions, fine.
Halliday shopping ends July 28th, and don't expect any sales. Blue Jays GM J.P. Ricciardi set the trade deadline Tuesday, indicating a deal for Halliday is, in his words, quote, probably unlikely. Baseball's trade deadline is July 31st, but Ricciardi said his deadline is necessary to iron out all facets of what would likely be a complicated deal. The Jays have asked for the moon and the stars, since Halliday himself is among the brightest. The 0-3 Cy Young winner is 11-3 this season with a 2.73 ERA. Here's Peter Gammons.
Nothing has changed in the last 48 hours in terms of where Roy Halladay may go. The most likely destination remains Philadelphia. Now, the Phillies don't want to give up Happ and Drabeck and two more position prospects, but the more they've thought about it, the more they say, okay, we're going to play in October. This is about winning in October, and Halladay gives them a much better chance to win three consecutive World Series. There's a good chance sometime around the 28th, we'll know exactly whether or not that deal will happen.
All right. I'm Buster Olney of ESPN the Magazine, and this is the ESPN.com baseball video blog for Tuesday, July 21st. Everything is going great for the Philadelphia Phillies. They blew out the Cubs on Monday night. That's 9 straight wins, 13 wins in their last 14 games. They're running away with the National League East. And as they sit here today, they could feel pretty good about their chances of winning their division with or without Roy Halladay. But here are some things to think about. As of today, the Phillies ranked 25th in starters ERA at 4.82. Last year, they were 13th out of 30 teams in the majors. And Cole Hamels has had some physical troubles. And if he were to have any kind of a physical setback, if he were to break down in August or September, it clearly would have a huge impact on their chances to succeed in October. That's why, if I'm sitting in Ruben Amaro's chair, the chair of the Philadelphia Phillies general manager, I'm making the Roy Halladay trade. He makes them better in so many ways.
Teach.
He's a great pitcher.
Teach.
He's a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's completely accountable. So no matter what happens with his contract,
mm-hmm.
he's going to set that aside and just go out there throwing his cutters
right.
and his sinkers.
Right.
He would be a tremendous upgrade for this team, and certainly greatly improve their chances to win the championship
Teach.
In 2009 and in 2010.
That's right, two rings.
And from what we hear, despite their increasing lead in the National League East,
mm-hmm.
the Phillies are not backing off their pursuit of Halladay.
Ooh.
This is something that's going to play out over the next 10 days. The Toronto Blue Jays are in the process
mm-hmm.
of scouting the minor league system of the Phillies. We'll see if these two sides can reach an agreement. I would do it 10 times over if I were the Philadelphia Phillies.
I had to think of a song to salute this man. Roy Halladay. We'll call him Halladay. I had to go to Yonkers to salute a man that I hope will become a Philadelphia representative. Roy Halladay. Get him.
You heard it from the B. You ought to know it's the truth. If I get you kidnapped and thrown off a roof, you can nod your head to this like it's only a rap. Cause when he... like it's only I need a funeral to feel that I'm hoping it's yours.
Thank you to the Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, from the Black Coffee Channel.
With the Porsche, flip to the booth, stick to the truth. Do anything it takes just to get to the sleuth. And missing the truth for both of them chip. Toast his grip, you heard about the trouble, I'll stop motion. And leave the room when they hear the peep flowing the switch. I'm an ignorant and negative.
I'm sorry. If I'm gonna speak to you miserable Mets fans. Yeah.
LOX.
We speak to you LA Dodgers fans, Manny Ramirez and Roy Halladay. Sometime in September or October. It's not a pretty sight. Halladay.
You heard it from the P, you ought to know it's the truth. I get you kidnapped and thrown off a roof. You can nod your head to this like it's only a rap. Cause when he jokes like it's only a... I need a funeral to feel, but I'm hoping it's yours. Think you religious? Heard he got shot in the holiday style. I broke most of the laws. With the Porsche, flip to the booth. Stick to the truth. Do anything it takes just to get to the sleuth. And missing the truth for both of them chip. Toast his grip. You heard about the trouble, I'll stop motion. And leave the room when they hear the peep flowing the sweat.
With all due respect, A-Rod, I saw you hit a home run this weekend. You look like you're back, brother. But Roy Halladay in October in Philly is not going to be pretty. Anyone thinks they got something for the Phillies with Roy Halladay, get at me.
Home, I'ma give you the sword. I'm the devil in the flesh, I can't give you the Lord. It don't make no sense for you to pray for your life. I got my in the crib, you ought to pray for your wife.
You are tuned in to the Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Halladay, and I don't care if I sell, y'all know what I'm saying.
Roy Halladay.
Halladay, I use my left hand when I'm loading this. Right, that's why I'm blowing the L. I do it all for my even ride with a bomb. Dying his arm and give him my last.
You are tuned in to the Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Oh no, no, that wasn't Rough Riders. This song was made for Roy Halladay. You just renamed him. Phillies, give him whatever they want.
Catch me right next to the dog. I'm Holiday Styles, and that's what the weapons are for. And I probably won't blow for the fact that I'm hard, but I'm good with 10 million in the back of the car. Keep it out of get life and lift it back in the yard. Getting juice from the old timers passing the cars. But jail ain't part of the plan. I keep cause I feel I get further with in my last few bars. I run through like my last two cars and crash him up. The boy might have went platinum, but don't gas him up. I get his length and his whip and get his casket cut.
I'm Buster Olney at ESPN the Magazine, and this is the ESPN.com baseball video blog for Tuesday, July 21st. Everything is going great for the Philadelphia Phillies. They blew out the Cubs on Monday night. That's 9 straight wins, 13 wins in their last 14 games. They're running away with the National League East. And as they sit here today, they could feel pretty good about their chances of winning their division with or without Roy Halladay. But here are some things to think about. As of today, the Phillies ranked 25th in starter ZRA at 4.82. Last year, they were 13th out of 30 teams in the majors. And Cole Hamels has had some physical trouble. And if he were to have any kind of a physical setback, if he were to break down in August or September, it clearly would have a huge impact on their chances to succeed in October.
July 22nd, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Let me read some of your comments. I want to acknowledge B. Harris from Philly. B. Harris from Philly sent a few missives my way. I hope nobody's questioning my Philly credentials. Talk about that later. B. Harris says of the Henry Louis Gates episode, it is a wake-up call for academics who think and act as if racism is gone due to their achievements. Also, B. Harris from Philadelphia says that Roy Halladay of the Toronto Blue Jays is a top five pitcher at age 30. With at least 3 years left in him, the Phillies will not do the deal due to what Toronto is asking for. He says it will not go through, but good luck to the Phillies. Pessimistic, B. Harris. I would give up prospects. I'd give Toronto whatever they want. This is, the Phillies are in their prime right now. They're not going to be this good again probably for another 10, 15, 20 years maybe. Let's make a run for this. Your pitching is weak. Pedro Martinez is not going to be enough. Let's do what we got to do. Shane from Houston, Texas, as far as skinny jeans goes, Shane says, I don't wear baggy jeans anymore, and when I did, I didn't sag. I prefer the relaxed fit and or the boot cut now. Emil Carr from Brooklyn, responding to Chris Brown's apology where he says, I told Rihanna. He says, Chris, don't sound too good. I told Rihanna countless times. Sounds like he's saying, I am sorry. And I said, I'm sorry. What more do you want? That is not good. I agree. Shout out to Brooklyn. My second favorite baseball team is the Yankees. I lived in Harlem for 2 years. Okay, send in more comments. Is this Henry Louis Gates? I mean, is he the symbol now? Is Henry Louis Gates? Let me put the picture up, because I know in Brooklyn, matter of fact, Emil Carr and any of my representatives in Harlem and Boston, I have listeners in Boston, of course, you all hit the streets, let me know, are the Free Skip Gates t-shirts being made? Have you seen any with the image of him being arrested? Let me put that up. Needless to say, our entrepreneurs will have this on t-shirts all across America momentarily. Let me read the story. Wall Street Journal. Police arrest black scholar in dispute. Henry Louis Gates Jr., one of the country's leading scholars of African American studies, was charged with disorderly conduct last week for allegedly loud and tumultuous behavior. After police responded to a report of a break-in at his home near Harvard University's campus here. Mr. Gates, who was seeking to have the charges dropped, told police he was a victim of racism. At 12:44 p.m. Thursday, a witness said she saw two black men with backpacks on the porch of Mr. Gates' home, with, quote, one of the men wedging his shoulder into the door as if he was trying to force entry, according to a Cambridge police report made public on Monday. Charles Ochiltree, a Harvard Law School professor, representing Mr. Gates, said Mr. Gates had returned from the airport after filming a documentary in China, and the other man was a limousine driver. He said Mr. Gates had trouble opening his front door, so he entered through the back and tried to open the front entrance while the driver pushed from outside. He said Mr. Gates called Harvard, from which he leases the home, to complain about the door, and at first thought police were responding to his call. According to the report, Sergeant James Crowley said he saw a man, later identified as the 58-year-old professor, in the home's foyer. The officer said he wanted to speak with Mr. Gates about the suspected break-in, and the professor replied, why, because I'm a black man in America, the report said. Sergeant Crowley said Mr. Gates yelled at him, called him a racist, and said, you don't know who you are messing with. After initially refusing, Mr. Gates provided the officer with Harvard identification and demanded to know his name, the report said. Sergeant Crowley said he told Mr. Gates he was leaving and would speak with him outside. As I descended the stairs to the sidewalk, Gates continued to yell at me, accusing me of racial bias, and continued to tell me that I had not heard the last of him, he said in his report. This police officer wrote a good report. Any of you officers out there can confirm it. Sergeant Crowley, whatever you say about his view of black people, wrote a very vivid report. I appreciate it. With the officer and the professor on the porch, Mr. Gates yelled, this is what happens to black men in America, according to a supplemental report by another officer at the scene. A supplemental report. Damn, got two reports. Sergeant Crowley said he warned Mr. Gates he was becoming disorderly, then told him he was under arrest. Mr. Ogletree said his client has no criminal record, was in custody for 4 hours, and posted $40 in bond. I mean, how many of us wish we had that kind of bond? $40. $40 bond. He's a little shaken, the lawyer said. What happened to him, he knows, happens to a lot of people. It was quite a shock that it happened to him personally. See, this is where I wonder about some of you all making such a big deal over this. Why is this such a shock? Is this really a shock? Cambridge police declined to comment. Arraignment is scheduled for August 26th. Okay, that's where I guess we'll be called a rally. I had guns drawn on me, been slammed on police cars. Is this Henry Louis Gates for real? Let me hit you with a subliminal movie clip. Tell me, is this what's going on?
What is the guiding principle of an underground guerrilla army?
To live off the country. To rely on nothing in the way of logistics or supplies which cannot be obtained easily and simply, whether legally or illegally.
What happens in an underground organization when the first or second in command are killed or captured?
Each man is trained to handle positions three steps ahead of him in grade. The operations officer takes over, and the others move up two grades.
We ain't no junkies.
Now and everybody gonna think you are. You put needle marks in your arms and you keep them fresh. And no pig is gonna bust you for the things that we'll be doing as long as you got those tracks.
That's really hip, man. During the daytime, we be nodding. Nighttime, we get out there and do it.
We are gonna get our own. Stop begging for crumbs.
How?
What we got now is a colony. But what we want to create is a new nation. In order to do that, we got to pay a different kind of dues. Freedom dues. Yeah, according to Mr. Charlie, we have never paid any dues. You dig those plantation movies on television?
Yeah.
No chains, no whips. Bunch of happy darkies just waiting on Master Charlie and his family and digging.
Like it's fun.
Lordy, 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 it's Colonel Beauregard come home from the war.
My faithful retainer, George, the war is over and we lost. You're not a slave anymore, George. You're free.
Free, Master? Is that bad, Master? I go on to die?
You're free, George. You can leave the plantation.
I can stay with you.
But I can't pay you, George. The carpetbaggers mortgage the plantation.
Oh, don't let that worry you none. Well, I wouldn't know what to do with no money. And don't let that mortuary thing worry you either. Everything's gonna be all right.
Bless you, George. George, sit down, George.
Master.
You have just played out the American dream.
Yeah.
And now we're going to turn it into a nightmare.
I'm the world's heavyweight champion. Now, for a lot of you people out there, that's a real hard nut to swallow. A lot of you don't like that. You don't like the prestige that I have in life. You don't like the notoriety. You detest the fact that I got more cars than most of you have friends. I got a big house on the big side of town. I got life pretty much the way I want it. You understand that? You know why? Because I'm the champ. Dale Murphy, right? A local here in Atlanta, Georgia. He's a big deal, but he's not the champ. You understand that? Huh? Herschel Walker, for all you black folks out there, he's a real big dude, but he's not the champ.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
All
y'all wanna pile on me, make it hard for me to breathe. Throw sand in my eyes and make it hard for me to see. Can't you still hard to defeat? The history that I made, impossible to repeat. Throw stones, judge me. Hate me, love me, hug me, curse me. Whatever, cause y'all players won't be me. I'm clever enough to know that the industry needs me. Opposite of the demon that faces me. I've been through hell, lived in the belly of the beast. I confess my sin, but still didn't find people.
Who are tuned like into the Watchman, Shaggy Mahoney, on the Black Coffee Channel.
That's why the hood is always first to help me overcome. When I'm down, some of y'all cats act so strange. When I'm up, same cats wonder why I act so strange. Y'all can change, please, you just so lame. Something ain't y'all fault and y'all so quick to blame. That's why I got number one on the back of my reins. Y'all cats is full playing, I'm pregnant by the game. Some would like to see me bald and chained. I'm a child of God, so my destiny's ordained. I'm the dude that is the kind of my claim. About to shoot the world up with this biblical cocaine. The place is packed, the bell rings, I'm about to bring the pain. Left jab, right hook, shedding down your brain. Lions in the midst of the jungle, and still I'm a rumble, y'all made a
July 22nd, 2009. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, CedricMuhammad.com, BlackCoffeeChannel.com, BlackElectorate.com on the sites. I fell asleep last night, y'all. I fell asleep on Tiny and Toya. Was up early watching Al Jazeera and SABC TV. Therefore, I could not... Oh, no, I forgot to DVR Tiny and Toya. It's come clean. Not only did I fall asleep, I forgot to DVR it. But don't have no fear. I have a second favorite show. If you watch the T.O. show, let me know. I'm feeling this show, even though I have not been known to feel T.O. since our time together in Philadelphia. He was an Eagle, betrayed us. But I miss him terribly. I still miss T.O. to this day. The T.O. show. Some of y'all know I used to get down in Buffalo. Here's what Buffalo was saying about this program. Buffalo News. Owen show scores in Buffalo. The premiere of the new VH1's reality series, The T.O. Show, featuring Buffalo Bills receiver Terrell Owens, was a hit in Western New York. Shout to East Buffalo, by the way. The premiere averaged a 3.4 rating, approximately 3.4% of area households, which is impressive for a VH1 program. To put things in perspective, Owen's show more than doubled the local ratings for NBC's Dateline and the Channel 2 News on WNYO, and was higher than the 2.6 rating that a Seinfeld rerun had on WUTV. However, a CSI Miami rerun on Channel 4, the premiere of the ABC reality series Dating in the Dark, on Channel 7 and Channel 4's 10 o'clock news on sister station WNLO, had much higher ratings than the T.O. show. The question now is whether the viewers will come back for next Monday's second episode, which is expected to be more focused on Buffalo than the premiere. There was very little of Buffalo in the opener until the final minutes, when the program previewed the remaining six episodes of the series. The most memorable moments concerning Buffalo on Monday were when Owens told his publicist to get their fur underwear ready for cold days in Buffalo, and the publicist sang the refrain of T.O. Let's Go to the Snow, or something like that. Owens' show has drawn some national attention, as all things T.O. do, with ESPN carrying extensive highlights of the open that left anchor Hannah Storm speechless. Do you have anything to say about the premiere of the T.O. show? If you saw this, I want to feel you. I love this show. We'll be right back.